Welcome to the Victory in Living broadcast with your hosts, Ray and Pam Jackson. We are coming to you every week to bring words of encouragement and insights into living a victorious Christian life. Psalms 138, 7 through 8 says, "Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You will stretch out your hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and your right hand will save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the works of your hands." Jeremiah 29:11 reads, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." So plan on joining us every Saturday morning for good singing, testimonies, and the Word. But before we get into the lesson for today, let's ask Ray to come and sing for us.
We often judge a man by the clothes he wears or the car he's riding in. You can often tell if he is steering very well by the house he's living in. But I am here to say it don't work that way with everybody I know. I just got acquainted with some poor red folks a little while ago. Well, I'm a poor, poor rich man. Well, I'm a poor, poor rich man. Well, oh, you see, it really happened to me that I'm a millionaire. I know that I am poor, but I've got a lot more than many rich folks that I know. I've got a home in the sky money cannot buy, 'cause I'm a poor, poor rich man. Now when a man is rich with these worldly goods, he often boasts and has a lot to say. He wants to try to live so high when he knows that it's a sin. But even if I could, I don't believe I would want the riches of this old world. And when it's time to go, I'll be glad to know that I'm a poor, poor rich man. Well, I'm a poor, poor rich man. Well, I'm a poor, poor rich man. Well, oh, you see, it really happened to me that I'm a millionaire. I know that I am poor, but I've got a lot more than many rich folks that I know. I've got a home in the sky that money cannot buy, 'cause I'm a poor, poor rich man.
I know that you enjoyed hearing Ray sing. He is such a blessing. Well, I hate to tell you, but he isn't able to be with us this week. But I want to encourage you to listen next week, because we're going to take a break from teaching and dedicate the whole broadcast just to his singing. And I know that you're going to enjoy that. I also want to take this opportunity to encourage you to continue to read your newsletters and go to our websites and look for the special announcements that are coming about January of 2012. We're going to begin to have meetings and seminars in the new year. And as we all know, next Thursday is Thanksgiving, and I want to encourage everyone to take time to really be thankful for what the Lord's done for you. And as we talked about in our newsletter, enjoy the feasting at the Lord's table. You know, that's what it's all about anyway. He is the source of our blessings. Take time to thank Him for that. Well, I guess it's about time for us to get into our lesson today. And we're going to finish up where we left off last week, about the characteristics and the problem areas of the perceiver. And I want to do a quick overview of the characteristics that we touched on last week, and then we'll finish up. Now, let's review the ones that we covered last week. Number one, a perceiver quickly and accurately identifies good and evil, and they hate evil. Perceiver will view people or situations as either in the will of God or out of the will of God. To them, there's no such thing as sort of in the will of God, because in his understanding, not to be perfectly in the will of God is to, you got it, be out of the will of God. And a perceiver has no room for compromise. To them, it is no option. And of course, the biblical example would be John the Baptist. From the very beginning of his ministry, if you will study, he exposed evil and he identified with and expressed God's hatred of it, even when it meant his stand would put him in prison and ultimately bring his death. Number two, a perceiver sees everything as either black or white. There's no gray or indefinite areas. You know, perceivers make decisions easily. They also will make quick evaluations. Why? Well, because they see either things either right or wrong, appropriate or inappropriate, true or false. And to them, there can be no in-between. Therefore, they easily perceive the character of individuals and groups. That's number three. And they find it easy to get the feel of individuals or groups. Now, mind you, it's not by the outward appearance of the person or the people in the group, but it's by the inward perception that is their gifting. That's why they're called perceivers. A perceiver does not know everything about a person. God will show them what he wants them to know or to see, and it's always for a purpose, usually so the perceiver can effectively pray for that person. Did you understand that? The main reason that a perceiver perceives a problem or a situation is so that he can pray about it. A perceiver knows when to pray for a person, not judge, criticize, or condemn. And you know, you don't always go up to a person and say, I'm going to read your mail. No, there's a time and a purpose for that. But you have to wait until God tells you to go. And unless he does, a perceiver will take that knowledge into their prayer closet and intercede about it. Number four, a perceiver encourages repentance that produces good fruit. In Matthew 3:8, in the Amplified Bible, it says, bring forth fruit that is consistent with repentance. Let your lives prove your change of heart. You know, perceivers learn to observe the fruit of a person's life so that they can diagnose underlying problems. And when they do, then they pray for the exposure of the cause of the bad roots. They help identify the cause and help the person come to repentance. And then they watch the good fruit begin to come forth. So remember that the evidence of bad roots is bad fruit. Or we could say that bad fruit is evidence of bad roots. Number five, a perceiver believes the acceptance of difficulties will produce personal brokenness. You know, most of us try to avoid problems. We don't see them as tools for growth. But this is not true of the perceiver, because they rejoice in the opportunity for these times to work brokenness in their lives. And you say, what do you mean by brokenness? I mean the experience of coming to the end of ourselves, where we say, God, I can't handle this. I can't do this without you. And then we cry out, help, Lord. That two-word cry could be the most spiritual prayer that we can utter. Help, Lord. Number six, a perceiver has only a few or no close friends. You know, perceivers often go through life with one or only two good friends, and some of them have none at all. As they mature in the Lord, they begin to realize that this is normal for them because God made them that way, and they can be comfortable in who they are. Number 7, they view the Bible as the basis for truth, belief, action, and authority. Perceivers are in the Word a lot. They have to be. And they love studying the Bible. Why? Because they believe there's no other dependable basis for truth but the Bible. And they depend on the Holy Spirit to illuminate the Word. Number 8, a perceiver boldly operates on spiritual principles. They extract principles from the Bible that they apply to their daily life. They're very demanding on themselves about their principles. And the perceiver is a principled person in every area of his life. They are truly the standard bearers of the church. They're the ones who hold up God's righteousness and say, "This is what we ought to aim for." If it weren't for perceivers, many of us would settle for much less. We definitely need these people in the body of Christ. Number 9, a perceiver is frank, outspoken, and doesn't mince words. You know, this characteristic often gets the perceivers in trouble until they're fully mature, and even as they are maturing. A mature perceiver is the most exciting person to be around. Why? Because you can count on them being honest, upfront, and candid, yet guided by wisdom and love. A mature perceiver is transparent and they never beat around the bush. For example, let's look at John the Baptist again. He warned of judgment. He told selfish people to share. He told tax collectors to be honest and soldiers not to misuse authority. His words held such power, thousands flocked to the wilderness to hear him. Number 10 is very persuasive in method of speaking. This persuasiveness stems from the fact that a perceiver has such strong conviction. To them, things are right or wrong, and they're going to let their opinions be known. Number 11, a perceiver grieves deeply over the sins of others. You know, they will inwardly and even sometimes outwardly weep when he sees someone involved in serious sin. You say, well, why? Because a perceiver knows that sin carries within itself the seeds of destruction. And if he could, he would spare the person the consequences of that sin. If he could. But the perceiver knows that salvation is the only way not to reap the consequences of sin. So the perceiver will pray for the convicting power of the Holy Spirit to bring that person to repentance. Number 12, is eager to see his own blind spots and to help others see theirs. In Luke 6:41-42, it says, "Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Brother, let me take the speck out of your eye,' when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." A perceiver will sound the alarm when there's a blind spot and a person just keeps on his predetermined course, not seeing the damage or the collision that's coming. You know, when we're ready for God to deal with us about our blind spots, one of the best things we can do is find a friend with the gift of perception and request their discernment. Number 13, desires above all else to see God's plan worked out in all situations. A perceiver discerns God's plan and will never let personal desires get in the way of that plan for themselves or others. And you know, when a perceiver counsels another person, this is what you probably will hear them say. You need to let go of your plans and discover what God's plan is for your life. And you know, that goes right along with one of our favorite scriptures, Jeremiah 29 and 11. God has a good plan for you, a plan to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Well, that's what we covered last week. Now let's pick up this week with the characteristic number 14. They strongly promote the spiritual growth of groups and individuals. You know, perceivers want to see spiritual growth. They view themselves as ever growing. Therefore, they're eager to help others grow too. They view the spiritual growth of groups as the product of changes in each individual, because they view it as the weakest link in a chain determines the strength of that chain. So a perceiver sees it in a group that the person who is weakest spiritually limits the whole group's effectiveness. And this is the reason that the perceiver feels he must deal on a one-to-one basis, helping individual members in order to see the whole group become strong. And number 15, a perceiver is called to intercession. You know, this is probably, I would say, the most important characteristic of the perceiver. Most are aware of the importance of intercession. They sense that it is the most important part of their life and ministry. They're the ones that realize that mountains are moved and more can be accomplished through prayer than any other way. Perceivers should be slow to speak, but quick to pray. And you say, well, why? Because God allows him to see many things and have revelations about other people's problems and needs. And if they don't take time to pray, they can become negative criticizers or obnoxious meddlers. You know, God's purpose for giving them insight is so that they can know how to intercede effectively. And they are key people in prayer groups because they motivate others to pray. Number 16, they feel the need to verbalize or dramatize what they see. And Hosea was a good biblical example here. In Hosea 1 and 2 in the Amplified, the Lord first spoke with and through Hosea. The Lord said to him, go, take to yourself a wife of a harlot and have children of the harlot, for the land commits great whoredom by departing from the Lord. You know, and Hosea was obedient. And it was a dramatic move on his part, but it got the nation's attention and brought them back to God. But it was because of his gifting of perception and as a perceiver that he was obedient to God. But perceivers will sometimes use the stage to get across a message from God. They may have a dramatic flair for illustrating God's truth when they're teaching, when they're preaching, or just talking. Let's look at some of the Old Testament prophets that were perceivers. Some dressed in sackcloth and ashes to signal a time of repentance. Elisha told Naaman to dip 7 times in the River Jordan. Elijah called fire down from heaven. Nathan called David into his presence and told the story of a poor man and his sheep to prick David's conscience. Now look at the New Testament, and we find once again John the Baptist. He dressed in camel's hair and ate insects and wild honey. Look at Paul. He was warned of an impending imprisonment in Acts 21, 10 and 11 that reads, while we were remaining there for some time, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea, and coming to see us, he took Paul's belt and with it bound his own feet and hands and said, thus says the Holy Spirit, the Jews at Jerusalem shall bind like this the man who owns this belt, and they shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles or the heathen. And we find that's exactly what took place. Characteristic number 17 tends to be introspective. Perceivers know the verses in Psalms 139, verses 23 and 24, really well. It says, "Search me thoroughly, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there is any wicked or hurtful way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." To them, the perceiver, it's getting rid of imperfection. That's a top priority. They know the true importance of pure motives prompted by the Holy Spirit and not the desires of the flesh. Characteristics 18. They have strong opinions and convictions. Yeah, they have an opinion on just about everything. But they will generally seek God's help in forming their convictions. Therefore, their opinions will generally carry a ring of truth. But they don't necessarily present their opinions gently. And they can be like a bull in a china shop and leave a trail of destruction behind them. Characteristic 19 is they have a strict personal standard. Perceivers are never satisfied with less than their best effort. Unless they're out of the will of God, they will have impeccable morals. And the perceivers are honest, and their byword is integrity. Characteristic number 20, they desire to be obedient to God at all times. They recognize the importance of obedience. The opposite to them is rebellion, as we read in 1 Samuel 15 and 23. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. You know, they might view obedience in this manner. 1 Peter 1 and 14 tells us, as obedient children to God, they feel they must be respectful to and obedient to others. And you say, okay, give me an example. Okay, to Jesus, as in James 1 and 22, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Then they say you have to bring every thought into obedience to him, as found in 2 Corinthians 10 and 5, "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Then you have to be obedient to the secular rulers. Titus 3 and 1 says, "Remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good." And you could go on and on. You could go on to leaders, to parents, even to spouses, and even to our employers. The perceiver knows it sounds like a big order, but their view is this: Jesus is my pattern. He was obedient to God in all things, even to his death on the cross. So they know that through his strength, they can do it. Through his strength, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Amen? Okay, that completes the 20 characteristics. Now let's look at problem areas a perceiver might have. And each one of these will become less pronounced as a perceiver matures in the Lord. The first problem area would be they tend to be judgmental and blunt. We could say that perceivers can have a severe case of hoof and mouth disease. And Jonah is our biblical example. Think about it. God told him to go to Nineveh, so he gets on a boat to go to Tarshish. He gets thrown off the boat because he was the cause of the storm. God prepared the whale to swallow him. He repented. He spit him up on the shores of Nineveh. And so even though he repented, he was still angry that he was having to do this. He was still judgmental of the people in Nineveh. But he goes and he does what God's told him to do, and the people repent, and he's still angry. And then God, just go over there and read it and follow the story of Jonah. God will deal firmly, even sternly, in the perceivers' lives if they don't learn to pray more and criticize less. Prayer is the safeguard that prevents perceivers from developing a critical attitude. The only time a perceiver should confront anyone is after praying about it and receiving a direct instruction from God to do so. The second problem area is sometimes they forget to praise partial progress due to goal consciousness. You know, the perceiver's desire is always to get himself and others to the place of perfectly following the will of God. He focuses on the fact that Jesus said, "We are to be perfect." The perceiver needs to learn how to look at a step of progress as being valid in itself, rejoicing in each step taken in the right direction and encouraging the next step. Problem area three is that a perceiver can be pushy in trying to get others and groups to mature spiritually. There's nothing wrong in wanting people to mature spiritually. The problem is in the pushing. The problem area number four is that a perceiver is intolerant of opinions and views that differ from their own. Perceivers are convinced that their view is right. And most often, they are. But sometimes truth has various facets to it. The perceiver will see one facet of truth, while those with different motivational gifts see the other facets. So, we need to get all the facets together and you will see the whole. Perceivers need to learn to value other people's perspectives. Area number five, they struggle with self-image problems. Why? Because they have such an inward drive to do what is right. And since they're introspective and readily aware of their shortcomings, they're quick to judge themselves as inadequate. And you know, of all the motivational gifts, these people are relieved when they discover the things that they've wrestled with internally are indicative of divinely ordained giftedness rather than shortcomings or failures. Well, that's the end of the overview of the characteristics and the problem areas of the perceiver. Well, it's time for me to say goodbye, and here's our answer to tell you how to contact us.
I want to encourage you to write us at Victory in Living Ministries at 5221 Shiver Road, Keller, Texas, 76244. Take time and email us at Victory in Living, that's all one word, victoryinliving@aol.com. Visit us at our website, Victory in Living Ministries, again, that's all one word, victoryinlivingministries.org. Until next week, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. According to Numbers 6, 24 through 26.
We often judge a man by the clothes he wears or the car he's riding in. You can often tell if he is doing very well by the house he's living in. But I am here to say it don't work that way with everybody I know. I just got acquainted with some poor red folks a little while ago. Well, I'm a poor, poor rich man. Well, I'm a poor, poor rich man. Well, oh, you see, it really happened to